Good evening. Thank you for letting me speak tonight.
Good evening.
Tonight I'm going to continue on my short fourth installment in James. I just like James a lot because it really speaks to me and just how I think. It's just short, sweet, and to the point. And I kind of think in bullet points, so I apologize for the length. But in James 4, he writes about fights and disagreements among each other, and he also talks about life's uncertainties. And today, everything's uncertain. We wake up, we don't know if anything's open, if we can go travel or camp, what's going on with this virus. And James 4 just helps reassure us that this life is just temporary and to put our trust in God's will. I'll continue by reading James 4, and I apologize, I'm in the NIV edition. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you will kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not need to have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you are asking, you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That is why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but setting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, if it is sin for them. So in verses 1 through 3, James talks about desires and disagreements and fighting among worldly possessions and things. And just shows when we ask for worldly things, we do not receive. And really, we have to look within and ask God for godly actions, like spreading the gospel or healing our brothers and sisters. Verses 4 through 12 really talk about how to treat each other. James talks about being humble instead of being proud, and how not to speak against brothers and sisters, and doing so is judging the law and taking the place of God. And then verses 13 through 17 really kind of pertain about today in uncertain times. It's about an unpredictable future, which seems everyday life changes, and we aren't sure what to do in the pandemic. But James reminds us that our life's just a mist that appears and vanishes, and we'll have eternal life if we trust according to the Lord's will. I was going to conclude with a couple verses, but Brother Whalen's song really spoke to me, so I feel like we should re-sing 191.
So, mine says, marks of the true Christian. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think that's my my favorite verse right there is verse 20. I was reading and I just finished John, and Jesus coming into the world was so against what the Jews thought. They wanted a king and they wanted power. And everything that he preached was really foreign to them. To love your enemy, it was always the eye for an eye, I believe. But being a Christian, literally being transformed by Jesus, is something that not a lot of people have. And the kingdom is, it's going to be narrow. And the way we love is so out of this world. Even like growing up, if I was on the playground, I tried to be nice to my enemies, and it was hard. But sometimes I tried it one day. I was a young kid, and I think I was getting like bullied by a kid. He was a couple grades older than me, and he hurled insults, and I actually complimented him, and he was like thrown back. He didn't know what to do, and I think that's a lot of the times we can do that and be kind to people. People will know that we are his disciples by the way we love each other. I want to read just a quick couple verses in John 13. It's when Jesus washes his disciples' feet, and I realize that I'm not totally 100% sure, but he's washing Judas's feet, the man who's going to betray him. And just to that's love right there. Even though he knew that he was going to get betrayed by Judas, he loved him. Verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "What I am doing you don't understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." And we see there that he washed his disciples' feet. This is God in the flesh. And that's how we are to live this life, is to serve one another and to think of others before ourselves. And to love one another is a bigger commandment than I always thought. We are called to literally die for one another if it comes to it, to just how Christ died for us. I'm sorry. I won't go into detail, but right now as I was thinking, there's the story in Genesis. It starts in 37, but it's the story of Joseph. And that whole story is pretty lengthy, but that love for his own brothers who betrayed him is very encouraging to see that he provided for his brothers, the ones who sold him to slavery and put him in a pit, and he went through, he was in a prison. It's very lengthy, but he suffered a lot. But at the end of the day, Jesus, or God, exalted him and made him the second in command of all of Egypt. He was below Pharaoh. So he went from the bottom to his very, very worst, and he got raised up because he was faithful. But at the end of the story, someday I want to dive into study of it. But I see Jesus, even here in the Old Testament, the message. So in Genesis 50 and verse 19, it says, "But Joseph said to them, 'Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive, provide for you and your little ones.' Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." In chapter 45, he sees his brothers, his brothers didn't know he was alive, and he ended up being powerful. He had mercy to family who betrayed him badly too, to the point of death. They wanted to kill him, but Reuben was pretty merciful. So in 45, it says, "Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, 'Make everyone go out from me.' So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, so that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. And is my father still alive?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. At the time, they didn't know who it was. So Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come near me, please.' And they came near, and he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold in Egypt.'" So that's the evil that they did to him. And there was a time I was reading it before that it seemed like he was about to take the anger and the bitterness, but he didn't. So in verse 5, "And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve your life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and they are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant on the earth and to keep you alive for you many survivors." And that, I mean, the promise with Abraham is still God, even when they didn't believe in him, his plan was not going to be thrown away. Verse 8, "So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and ruler of all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you. For there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father all of my honor in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. He fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept among them, and that he had his brothers and he talked with them. Right there, I won't keep reading, but that's it's an awesome story, the story of Joseph, and I believe it starts in 37. But if you guys want to read, that's an awesome story. Actually, the first time reading, knowing the story, it was like a cartoon, kind of like the Prince of Egypt cartoon, but that's how I kind of figured out the story, and then I finally read about it. But to love your enemy, in conclusion, is the hardest thing. And I don't know how Jesus did it, but through him, with my feeble mind, I can't do it without in my power. But with Jesus, we're able to love and to show kindness even in the hardest situations.